In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The prodigal son. The bad boy who decided he did not want to stay home on the family farm. The kid who was bored and itching to go out into the world. What an idiot. He asked his father for his inheritance ahead of time, essentially saying, "You're not dying fast enough for my plans, so please give me the money now." The guy who went out to see the world and experience something beyond the farm. The boy who spent all the money he had gotten on wine, women, and song, realizing suddenly that he had made a major mistake. So he came home asking his father's forgiveness. Yep, we know the story. And we hear the word prodigal. We've heard it so many times, but what does it mean? It means spending money recklessly and freely. Yeah, that sure sounds like this kid, doesn't it? I expect each of us knows someone like that. Everyone does, it seems. We may even have been that boy ourselves at one point in our lives. It's a common theme, too, in movies and novels and in life, that we have to leave home to appreciate what we have at home. And we have to make a few mistakes along the way. We may not have done it in as dramatic a way as the bad boy in today's gospel story, but we recognize the urge, even as we may pass judgment on it. Now, this kind of behavior is usually associated with a young person, except in the case of midlife crises, but we'll put that aside for now. But young people do this a lot. It's part of them saying, "No, who am I? Who am I really?" And then the young person goes out and acts in a way that we might judge as irresponsible to test out their perception of who they really are. Perhaps our bad boy thought, "I'm not really a farmer type. I'm a city boy. I'm a party boy. I'm a playboy. I just need to go and live that life." So he got the money from his dad and went to fulfill his vision of who he thought he was until it all fell apart. And in that moment, something happened. Luke says, he came to himself. It's as if he was looking at a mirror and suddenly, finally, really saw himself in that mirror, and he realized that he was not the crazy playboy city party guy. He was simply himself, his father's son. He came to himself, came to his senses, realized that he had made a mess of things. And he wanted nothing more than to go home. Like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, he wanted to click his heels together and say, "There's no place like home," and magically be transported there. But instead, he had a long walk. And he went home again, not knowing quite what to expect when he got there. He'd squandered his inheritance. He'd acted like an obnoxious fool. He'd insulted his father and by extension his whole family by abandoning them. It would serve him right if they made him lower than the lowest slave. They owed him nothing. But what was the response when he approached his father's land? Not scorn, not excoriation, not a snub or the words, "You're dead to me," which by rights they could have said. No, his father was as prodigal with his forgiveness as his son had been with the spending of the money. It was a reckless, wildly over-the-top kind of forgiveness, as incomprehensible and as illogical in its way as the son's behavior was. The father forgave the boy's rude and heartless demand for his inheritance ahead of time. He forgave the son wasting his money on profligate living, living in a manner that actually rendered him ritually unclean, which was a big deal. He forgave his son for coming home with nothing to show for his adventure but pig waste under his fingernails. And this father not only forgave, but he celebrated. He threw a party. Why? Because the boy finally came to his senses. He finally came to himself. And in coming to himself, he realized what truly mattered. A prodigal forgiveness beyond what any son like this one would rightfully expect for the sins that he had committed. You know, we hear this parable, the story of the prodigal son, and we think of this story of prodigal forgiveness as a marker of the new covenant that Jesus Christ brought. A shift in mood from the Old Testament, where God exacted fearful judgment on his people. Do something wrong, you get smited. And yet, it isn't that simple. Look, for example, at our Old Testament reading this morning. We hear the dialogue between the Lord and Joshua as the Israelites finally arrive in the promised land. Interesting thing, this is really the first generation of Israelites who have no memory of the enslavement in Egypt. They've all been creatures of the wandering in the desert. And they're landed in the promised land. They don't need to eat manna anymore. There's real food here. They have finally and truly been released from their slavery. And God says to Joshua, "Today I have rolled from you the disgrace of Egypt." Prodigal redemption from a prodigally loving father who loved his children despite all of their murmurings and their complaints and their infidelity to him over the years of wandering. There is no love to compare to the prodigal love of this father unless we see the prodigal love that's demonstrated when the psalmist tells his story. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.' Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin." Who is this prodigal son, this psalmist, who asks the Lord's forgiveness? King David, regretting his sin of the murder of Bathsheba's husband. King David, who had been given so much from his heavenly father, anointed as a king, and who then recklessly, prodigally squandered that gift in that moment. And talk about the even more wildly reckless and prodigal forgiveness spoken of in this psalm in such incredibly understated terms. This God of the Old Testament forgives exactly as Jesus described in the parable from Luke. Love trumps punishment. Forgiveness trumps recompense. Yes, God judges, but if we acknowledge our brokenness and ask for forgiveness, God forgives and forgives and forgives. The God of second chances and third and fourth and 40th chances. If we've spent the previous weeks of Lent reflecting on who we are and have seen where we have failed, where we have not lived into our promise as God's beloved children, we have the prescription for the cure right here. Ask for God's forgiveness. Because God, prodigal father that he is, gives it. It's as simple as that. God gives it. God sets a table for us, much as the prodigal father in the parable did for his wayward son, as we come to ourselves once again, a table around which we will gather in a few minutes, a table where all of us, prodigals of every stripe, where all of us are welcome, a table where we will be fed in ways that will help us live into our best selves. We too will experience a blessing and a resurrection as we join God at the table. All because of a prodigally loving father and his prodigal forgiveness.